everyone had a good weekend, a good week. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. We'll get started here. So I'm tempted to give you a warning, and I'm tempted not to give you a warning. You know how sometimes you don't know what you should or not, but I'll just go ahead and say it anyway. If you're one that gets offended by bringing politics up in church and preaching, even though it's biblical, you might not want to stay for the next hour. I'll just put it that way. We're going to be talking about our chaotic culture that we live in, biblically based, and may spend a few Sundays on that through the summer and break it up. I don't want to do it every Sunday, but we're going to talk a little bit about the chaotic culture that we live in today and out of the book of Timothy and using Timothy as an example. Even though he wasn't raised in a somewhat of a traditional type culture and all the chaos that was going on there, he still raised up. According to the Bible, his mother and his grandmother had a big impact on his life. So that may tell me that maybe dad wasn't around or dad wasn't a believer. And some of those things, there's different views on that. But I'll just say that you can do everything right and they still don't turn out well. You can do everything wrong and they turn out well. It's that thing called free will. And all we can do is the best that we can, train them, equip them, and hoping. And I hope that we have learned from our mistakes. I'm afraid to say this, but I think the world that we live in today, a lot of the problems is because of the church. We have failed in so many areas. We haven't stayed involved in politics. We haven't stayed involved in the communities and the churches. In my view, I think the Christian school started for the wrong reason back in the 60s. Even though there's nothing wrong with a Christian school, don't misunderstand me. I think they probably should have been there to begin with, but they were pushed and started and grew and blew up for the wrong reasons. And then now they continue to thrive and blew up even more under political atmosphere during COVID, which is fine as well. My kids are raised, but I still have grandchildren. And sometimes I sit down and listen to my grandkids. I just got back from a trip recently with our grandson, as I mentioned, graduating high school and going to college. And the lack of knowledge of a kid that went to high school, scored high enough on ACTs, and along with that with football, to get an academic and sports scholarship over his high score in ACT, and his lack of knowledge of history, his lack of knowledge of political views on what's going on, the Constitution. I can't believe a kid graduated from high school and never read the Constitution. You know, I'm thinking about printing them out and making them available here in the church this summer. Just have a copy there on the back. I've already found the website for it. And now I'm just finding the best way to download it or to use it as a PDF to be able to print it without all the other stuff sometimes that comes with it. And we may talk a little bit more about that in the summer months as well. Well, anyway, I've only got 26 minutes now, so I better get back to my Sunday school lesson. Just wanted to get that off my chest, but you be praying. Let's back to our Philippians chapter 1, and we have been looking at the aspect of always rejoicing. You know, as believers, and I'll probably say this often, as believers, we should be always rejoicing. You know, Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, my happiness may be based on the happenings around me, but my joy comes from the Lord. And even though things aren't going well, if things aren't the best they can be, and you know, I got a call from my daughter this morning getting ready to start men's prayer, and she's locked in the house. I put on new child protection locks so she couldn't get out to get in the garage. And her clicker is in the car, so she can't go around and open the garage, so I've got to work on another method there. And she finally got it open. And I may have to readjust it. It may be defective, or maybe I need to move it. Maybe I got a little bit too snug against the door. And I told her, and after we got through praying, I called her back to check on her. She said, no, I got out. And she was raised by a couple that knows how to use a few tools, especially a mother who's very ingenious on getting things done. And she figured out between a kitchen knife and a pair of pliers, a few other things, she goes, I got out. Now, I might not be happy when I get home and see what she did, but she got out. And I said, sweetheart, slow down. Don't make up time. The Lord may have very well allowed that just to keep you from an accident on the road. So you might be a little late getting to church, that's fine. You might be a little late picking up the girls, that's fine. But you abide by the laws, get there. But if the Lord wanted to protect you, allow him to do that. And we need to think of that aspect as well. I couldn't help but just chuckle a little bit with her on the phone. I think it aggravated her a little bit because, hey, it's her stuck, it wasn't me. But that aspect, again, of always rejoicing. Even when things don't go our way, we can still rejoice because God has a purpose and God has a plan. Here in lesson two, aspect, we're talking about an inspirational goal. Point one that we covered over this past week was an approved excellence. So we'll go a little further this morning, verses 12 through 14. Verses 6 through 11 was an approved excellence. Let's look at verses 12, 13, and 14 as we look at an appointed experience. Isn't it wonderful to know that everything that God does is for a purpose and a plan? You know, it's appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. There's so many things that we're appointed unto, and God is in control with his sovereignty. Let's look at verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak word without fear. Here, as we see in our text, let's go ahead and have a quick word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. We do ask you to bless our time together, be with each and every class this morning that is meeting, the ladies in our class here, the children's hour, Lord, that you bless and encourage them. And the Father, help us, Lord, to keep an aspect and a purpose and plan in our heart of always rejoicing, knowing, Father, that we have an appointed time. We have an appointed experiences in our life, Lord, is directed by you. Now, Father, bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for me, and I hope it is for you, it's so comforting to know that God is in complete charge of our lives from beginning to end and every step in between. And I know the Lord allows us to make our own decisions in many aspects. We make some choices, sometimes good and sometimes bad, but the Lord even knows what we'll choose. We notice a principle in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves when we make mistakes, well, was that a good step of a good man? Or is it just trial and error or sin in my life? Not only are the destinations of life ordered, but every step to that destination is part of God's loving and careful constructed plan. Well, there's no doubt in my mind this morning when Kayla couldn't get out, she was more frustrated in thinking about, okay, Lord, why? Now, sometimes we do say, okay, Lord, why? But at that moment, she was frustrated because she needed to get there. She was teaching this morning, and I'm sure, and I know my daughter, and I could just tell by the tone of her voice when I spoke to her, okay, sweetheart, take a deep breath. We're going to get this taken care of. I'm sorry, I can't come get you out. I'm getting ready to go into men's prayer, but we will pray. Here's your mother. And I went on in, and of course, Michelle helped her out. But at the moment, she was in a panic. And sometimes I think we can cause ourselves to get into panic, or we can say, Lord, under my circumstance, I may not like it. It may not be what I had planned, but I'm just going to see and trust you. You see, God has never made a mistake. And he's not going to start making any with our life right now. We are the ones that make the mistake. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. Favorite verse of the Christian, trying to comfort someone else in need. But yet sometimes it's overused at times, only because people don't always receive it the right way. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. I don't know how many times that I've given that verse, tried to encourage someone in times where I need it, but sometimes I was a little sarcastic about reading, a little bit disruptive, but the bottom line is it's true. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to take from God's hand anything that he chooses to give to us? Anything, no matter what it is. Do we always expect a good from God, or we also realize that sometimes God gives us things that we don't like for our embetterment, but do we receive them from the Lord? Can you look up into his loving eyes and eyes of love and trust, and even into thanksgiving, knowing that whatever he gives to you, no matter how delightful, no matter how painful, is perfect, simply because it is he that has given it to you. Man, I think of that as I was penning that this past week. I could hear my dad's words. This is not politically correct today, but as I would hear my dad say, son, lay across the bed. He'd pull that belt off or get that paddle. And he would always make the comment, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. And I never understood that until I became a dad. And sometimes the chastening from the Lord is not comfortable. Sometimes the chastening of the Lord is not what we're expecting or looking for, but the Lord knows, and sometimes we need that. an approved experience. Again, just remind ourselves, not everything is hunky-dory, as my aunt used to say. Not everything is rosy. Not everything is the way we want it to be, but the bottom line is it is for our and betterment. And the sooner we accept it and realize this approved experience, that God has his hand on those things. Letter A here in verse number 12 again. Paul's troubles produced a bigger influence. The trouble he faced produced an influence on those around him that saw him going through his troubles. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You see, everyone desires and enjoys a mountaintop experience of their Christian life, but nothing grows on top of the mountain. Growth always takes place in the valley. I'm learning some things about Arizona, and I still have a whole lot of questions. And I was coming in this morning and going out yesterday. Michelle and I were talking, and I was thinking this morning, and I'm still amazed at some areas that are just dead brown. And in the same area, there's things that are green and flourishing. Now, the plants in my yard has a drip system, so it's getting some water. Those things out there in the desert aren't always getting the water that it needs, but some are dying and some are flourishing. You know, we look out across our land today, and there's many Christians that are dying, spiritually speaking, in a sense, are just dead and of no use, and there's others that are flourishing. We need to ask ourselves, and I can't help but to think, even though I go through some hard times and difficulties, others that are watching me, as Paul here, may benefit on how I go through my difficulties, how I go through my struggles. Fred Beck made the statement that the brook would lose its song if you remove the rocks. Well, you ever hear of the babbling brook? How wonderful sound. I love the sound of that. In fact, my sound maker is broke. But that's what I usually have on at night when I go to bed, either the brook or the rainfall and the light thundering and lightning. I enjoy that. And sometimes we forget or take for granted the things the Lord has provided us. You see, it's the trials of life are always God filtered. Think about that for a moment. So always put him between you and your circumstance. You know how it is when a kid is afraid, he runs and stands behind daddy or mom, grabs hold of their leg, puts you between them and their fear. Same thing with us when we have difficulties, we have fear, we have problems. You know, we need to remind ourselves to put the Lord in the forefront of our mind and between us and what we're facing and knowing that he will take care of it. The Apostle Paul certainly went through his share of troubles, and we won't take the time this morning, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 through 28 gives some more of those difficulties. But Paul came to the realization that problems are opportunities and work clothes. Do we look at difficulties and opportunity for Christ to shine? Do we look at his opportunities to grow and to get better? Now, we've all heard the story how it takes pressure to make a pearl, takes the pressure to coal to become a diamond. And sometimes we need to understand that we're diamonds in the rough. God is still working on us until he takes us home, until that trumpet sounds. We're going to face some difficulties, and we can either take it and say, Lord, why me? Why now? Or we can look at it as, okay, Lord, here's another learning opportunity. Here's an opportunity for me to reflect you and to be more like you and for others to see Christ in my life. See, by the time Paul writes the next chapter, he is rejoicing in his calamities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, a latter part of verse 9 and 10, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, who takes pleasure in pain? Well, you know, Paul's saying, he went through the pain, the beatings, the stonings, the shipwreck, all the things he went through. And he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, when we're at our weakest, and I'll be honest with you, often, and many of us struggle with self-confidence, and I'm not like no one else. There's times I struggle a little bit of self-confidence. I feel like I didn't do my best, or I feel like I failed, and it seems like sometimes I could remember through the years of ministry, either my wife or my son-in-law or one of my daughters would say something like, you know, Dad, that was one of the best messages I've ever heard, and I felt like I never got off the airstrip. But praise the Lord, maybe I just got out of the way. And, you know, just let the Lord take care of. There's been times I preached or taught and later sat down like I do every Monday morning and I make notes on my sermon notes about things I said, things I wish I'd have said, things that maybe I shouldn't have said. I make little notes, I go through my mind. But no, there's some Monday mornings I sit down and I have to re-listen to the sermon because I don't remember other than what's actually in my notes. And then I wonder sometimes, are those not the times that I got out of the way and let the Lord have a little more freedom in my preaching and in my teaching? And sometimes we're going to go through the difficulties, and the best thing to do is step back and let him lead as we go through our, as Paul says, infirmities, reproaches. Even he calls them in necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It was through the troubles that Paul's faith grew. His power was magnified. His ministry flourished. Someone has said, every irritation is an invitation to elevation. So, are we allowing the discomforts to help us to grow? Are we allowing the difficulties, even though we may not see them as necessity, God does, to make a difference in our life? Now, I don't know about you. I'm not ready for the next time I hit my thumb with my hammer to rejoice and jump up and down. Thank you, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. No, I'm not ready for that. But the attitude of how we handle it and saying, Lord, okay, you got my attention. I used to, I've gotten really bad. I'm getting a little off track here, but I'll get back on in a minute. But I used to be really good, and I need to start doing this again. I used to go to bed at night with a piece of paper and pen or pencil next to my bed. Because so often I'd wake up in the middle of the night, whether, you know, I don't think I had a vision or a dream, but for some reason I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a thought in my mind, and I thought, oh man, that's good. Well, I got to remember that. Roll over and go back to sleep. I can't remember the next day. Boy, I mean, and this is even when I was young. This is not a matter of my daughter reminding me, Dad, you're going to be 60 this year. How long have you been getting a senior discount? Just give me a hard time. She's a mess. But I think I need to start doing that again, this aspect of writing down, because sometimes I will forget. That's one thing I like about my, even though I don't like my phone, that's one thing I do like about my smartphone. It has notes and I can put things down when I hear something, read something, or think of something so I don't forget. And so often the Lord puts things on our heart and our mind. He allows us to grow. He allows him to be magnified. He allows our ministry to flourish if we will let him and accept the fact that even through difficult times, God is at work in our lives. We live in a society today where so many preachers want to preach this health and wealth gospel. They think that if something is going wrong in your life, either, you know, especially when they're on the receiving end, if something's going wrong in your life, it's not doing well, maybe you're not giving enough to the preacher. Maybe you're not giving enough to the church. They want to preach this health and wealth gospel. I even had a young lady one time when we were on the mission field, couldn't understand the aspect of, and ladies, you're going to love this, couldn't understand the aspect of chain and childbirth, pain. If you were living right, there'd be no pain. Only thing I could do is laugh and say, wait till you have your first child, sister. Please make sure you email me because my number will probably change. Of course, I haven't heard from her. Don't know if she ever married or anything or not, but she came from a background, attended a church there in Eastern Europe of the aspect of the health and the wealth. As long as you do everything right, if you're doing something wrong or you're having problems because there's sin in your life. Well, that's the case, but the Apostle Paul was a very sinful man after salvation. No, that's not the case. God uses circumstances. He uses these trials and things in our life to grow us. Paul's troubles produce a bigger influence. And if we'll allow it, the Lord can produce a bigger influence for our circle and those around us through our hardships if we allow the Lord to shine. And then we see Paul's trials produced a broader impact. Not only this big influence, but a broader impact. In verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. See, no one would choose for their little girl to be born deaf. But it was through such a case that the Bill Rice Ranch was born. No one would want their little child to die, but it was because of that that Dr. Lee Robertson established a Camp Joy there outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. No one would choose to get cancer and lose their eyes in the process, but it was through such a trial that Patch the Pirate was launched. So many things and tragedies that happen in the life of others God uses to launch ministries and programs and reaching others for the Christ. We can either embrace it and accept it and say, okay, Lord, how are you going to use this through and in my life? No one would choose for a missionary statesman such as Bob Hughes. Anybody heard of Bob Hughes? I wonder if Lloyd has. I'm going to have to ask her later. Bob Hughes was an incredible missionary in the Philippines. In fact, a large majority of missionaries that are now in the Philippines are because of the testimony and the preaching and the impact that Bob Hughes had upon their life. But he had to return home due to poor health, but it was through those circumstances that God touched the life of another missionary, Rick Martin, and many others that surrendered to the Philippines. Brother Rick Martin, I think, is still there, 40 plus years in the ministry. You look at him today, he looks frail. His head looks bigger than the rest of his body. His health is not good, but he's still there, making a tremendous impact for over 40-some years of multiple churches, started young men coming out of it, but yet his health is degrading. Sometimes God uses the negative, the impact, the difficulties that we have. Paul's trials produce a bigger influence, but his trials also produced a broader impact. And then notice that Paul's testimony produced and also a bolder inclination in verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's testimony producing that bolder inclination, giving other people boldness, energy, excitement about serving as they see Paul going through what he went through and still continuing to serve in God producing. See, our lives are the only Bible that most people will ever read. It's amazing to me with Christian radio, with radio, TV, satellite. You cannot turn on any electronic device, go anywhere on the web where you cannot find not only good but bad preaching, but you can find biblical presentation of the gospel. But yet there's still people living in our world today that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Because not everyone gets in a car and runs through the station and say, well, I think I'll find something today. I read one testimony recently where the lady who was unsaved, struggling, having much difficulties, and she was at her wit's end. And then she decided one day to listen to some music. She thought, I don't know what kind of music to listen to. So she just scanned the radio for several minutes and then began to fell upon and hearing some gospel music that was actually no words, just the music and the instrumental and listening to it. And she said, it felt like it just soothed my spirit. And she listened to it every day going to and from work. And then she decided, you know, I got to find out more about who produces this. I need to find out more what's going on because, man, I feel so much better after listening to this music. Just the music, no words at all. And then she made the contact, found out where it came from, who was produced, made a phone call, and to make a long story short, she ended up going to visit someone in office who took the Bible and led her to Jesus. You know, even through some trials and difficulties that we go to, being in the right place, and sometimes the Lord's timing, us directing people to others, watching our lives, listening to our music, whatever it may be, can make an impact and a difference in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 2 and 3, it says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye manifestly declare to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You see, it is often through trials that people watch us more closely. And when we handle them successfully, they become more confident in their walk with the Lord as well. Not just the unbelievers, but even believers, young believers that are growing, watch how the ones that are more mature. The writer of Hebrews instructs us to look at Jesus during his greatest hour of suffering in order that we might not faint in our day of trouble. I'm the oldest of four. Michelle's the oldest of five. And we both have shared some notes on what it's like being the oldest. And there's one thing I've always heard my dad say, and telling my siblings, you know, listen to your brother. Telling me, son, your brothers and sisters are watching you. In the same way as Christians, younger brothers and sisters in Christ are watching us. They're observing our lifestyle. They're observing how we respond, what we say, how we talk about others, how we deal with our church family, not only at church, but outside of the church. Yes, Paul's testimony produced a much broader and bolder inclination. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Boy, that first phrase, looking unto Jesus. Boy, if we look unto him a little bit more, we might complain a little bit less. If we looked at him a little bit more, we might be a little less controversial. If we looked at him a little more, we might be a little more like him instead of like the world around us. You see, by God's grace, the troubles and trials that we are going through collectively as well as individually can have a bigger influence. It can have a broader impact and produce a bolder inclination for the glory of God. Think about that for a moment. Do we have and do we recognize that approved excellence that our Lord has provided, that appointed experience? Nothing will take place today or any day of our life that will take God by surprise. It will us. And yes, it is often that it is not comfortable. It is often that it is very frustrating. And again, I've said this before, and you guys like to laugh with me, laugh at me, but I do not like four-way stops in Arizona. Too many people from too many states living here don't know what to do or act like they've never seen one. And I've learned to pull up now and just kind of giggle and wonder. Now I look at this excitement when I pull up. Boy, I can't wait to see what doesn't happen. I can't wait to see how others do this. And without a doubt, you can always tell by the younger drivers in the bigger trucks, no matter when they pull up, they're going to leave next. Because they're bigger than everyone else. And that aspect of pride and me first. You know, we as believers, if we're living a life of always rejoicing, we're living that life in such a way, as we talked about with this lesson, what we're going through this morning, and taking our heart and mind and taking things as seriously as we should, are we looking at everything that's coming from the Lord as being divine, inspirational, at his hand, at his beckoning? See, it's easy when I can see my dad saying, son, here's what you're facing. Son, here, let me help you to do this. But when we don't always physically see our Heavenly Father and things are in front of us, we don't always receive them well. Sometimes we get frustrated, or we can look at it as a divine appointment and say, okay, Lord, how are we going to handle this today? Or Lord, I can't wait to see how you help me through this. Lord, I can't help wait to see how you get me out of this. And folks, I'm just going to recap a little bit, and it's almost 9:30 and we'll be done. I just can't, every time I read through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and read through the life of Paul, I can't help but to think, I don't think I would have stuck with it that long. I'm just not sure. I mean, I don't like snakes, but remember with the sticks and the fire reaching in and the viper latches onto him? Boy, I'll tell you what, that right there would have been enough for me. I don't like snakes. I don't even like dead snakes. But yet, he allowed the Spirit to work. Everyone else looked around and expected him to swell up and die. And he just anticipated, well, what's the Lord going to do? And I wonder if we can approach some things, whether it be that viper, the old serpent that latches onto us, gets under our skin, causes us to react instead of acting the right way, then how we make up for it. When we get in a situation, even the stoning. I have never been stoned. In fact, I've never even had fruit thrown at me. But yet, the Apostle Paul, time after time, he just walks and knocks the dust off and goes on. I mean, good night. We were out here when Brother Ed was out there and Brother John out here working, and after men's fellowship one morning, I walk out there to see all the work going on, all the dust going on. I come back and I got my shoes are all dirty and dusty and all over my, you know, Brother Ed warned me before I went out there, and I out there came stomping it off complaining about that. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been stoned, cast into prison, taken up by a viper, shipwrecked, But even all that, and because of all that he went through and coming out shining, there was an impact in Paul's life. He made a difference, that broader impact, that bolder inclination that he gave others, and that aspect of that bigger influence. So, how are our actions and reactions to adversity making an impact on those around us? Or do they see us as those who take on difficulties in stride, knowing that I didn't ask for this, but this is what the Lord has allowed, I'm just going to handle it and go on? Those types of Christians, those that embrace that opportunity to let the Lord shine, have the bigger influence, the bigger impact, the broader inclination in their life, because they're allowing the Lord to work in it and through it. Folks, don't misunderstand me here before we pray. I'm not going to leave today looking to get stoned so I can respond rightly. I'm not looking to get taken up by a viper so I can respond properly. I'm not looking to get in an accident so I can respond the right way. But I do know, by the grace of God, if he'll help me when adversity comes, when things don't go my way, I hope that I let Jesus show up and I step back. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings and joy of fellowship. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, all as believers, to have that aspect of always rejoicing and doing all that we can to realize that every experience that we face is appointed by you. And Father, we can let it infect us, or we can allow us to impact us in such a way that it emboldens and influences others around us. Father, help us to be godly. Father, help us to be live in such a way that would honor and glorify you. And now, Father, as we dismiss us with your love, Lord, bless our time of fellowship, be with the choir as they prepare. And Lord, help us to get our hearts and minds ready for the preaching of thy word in the next hour. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Choir, I know you need to make your way over to the